Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, and today we have Lydia Camarillo again. Welcome, Lydia. Glad to have you back.
Thank you for the invitation. It's always good to talk to you.
Lydia is the president of the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project, and she's also president of the Willie C. Velasquez Institute, which are both based in San Antonio. And these organizations are really focused on the empowerment of the Latino community through voter registration education and get out to vote throughout the United States. And so I'm delighted to have her today. We're talking specifically about Congressman John Lewis and his role in the empowerment of the Latino community in terms of political empowerment, and also his role in the founding of some of the most influential political empowerment organizations focused on Latino empowerment in the country. So welcome, Lydia. Tell us all about this history. Tell us about your work with the SBREP, and then just tell us about the founding and the relationship of John Lewis to this impactful work.
Well, I want to say, first of all, to everybody who knew Congressman Lewis personally and his family and friends and colleagues, that our condolences are with you. We lose a giant. To those of us that can say that because of Congressman Lewis, we've moved forward in the same way that the way he thinks about empowering communities, and that's do some good trouble. Mm-hmm. Do some good trouble. And you know, before you and I got online to talk about his life, I was listening to him dancing to Happy. He's on a video on Facebook.
Isn't that the cutest video?
It's adorable. It's inspiring. It lifts your heart. So I just wanted to mention those things. But on a serious note, the thing that we have to remember, the most inspirational aspect about his life, is that he shared with all of us the knowledge and the tools of how to empower ourselves. And that, he walked, we know he crossed the bridge that should be named after him. We know today we're pushing to make sure that the voting rights is reinstated and it will have his name. And we hope the Senate signs it and passes it, and then ultimately the president signs it. But if it's not signed today, it will be signed in the next session, I believe. But in addition to all of that, he had the understanding that voter registration and mobilization of communities of color had to be broad. And so he was very generous in sharing with Willie Velasquez, the founder of Southwest Voter and the first president of Southwest Voter, what and how to do voter registration. Much like I shared with you in the last time you and I talked, the way that we received a call one day, and I say we, I mean Southwest Voter, and I'm not the one that answered the phone. It was Andy Hernandez and Willie Velasquez who responded by the leaders that were putting an election in South Africa when Mandela was going to become president. And the response of my predecessors, because both of them have been presidents of Southwest Voter, was very simple. He's going to win. What can we possibly do that will help you win? He's going to win. And their response was, we don't know how to run an election. We haven't ever had an election. Well, I think that was the same where we were at that point in 1968, when Willie Velasquez started thinking about doing voter registration around the very important time of the civil rights movement. Malde was given birth by many of the leaders of LULAC, League of United Latin American Citizens. Their point was, we continue to have discrimination at every level, education, access, voting rights, everything, housing. So we think that the only way we're going to get out of this discrimination is by starting a Mexican American Legal Defense Fund, which was modeled after the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Willie was part of those conversations. And as part of that conversation, Willie thought, well, I can start registering voters, much like the NAACP voter fund. But it was Congressman Lewis that came and showed Willie and his colleagues of the time in 1974, because it took from 68 to 74, Willie was basically blacklisted by the Justice Department. He wasn't allowed. He wasn't given the C4, the C3 status to start an organization and start raising the resources to register voters, because their argument was that Willie was going to be registering Mexicans to vote, and they didn't want that to happen. So Maldiv helped us, Mario Bledo. Willie Velasquez asked Mario Bledo to please help us figure this out, and Mario Bledo was in D.C. and figured it out and lifted the blacklisting list. I don't know how you call that, but he basically freed us from that dilemma, and then we got our status in 1974, and Lewis, the Congress member, joined us and began to have conversations about how do you run a voter registration project? Where do you go? But not only the rules and the laws, but the barriers that we're going to find, the attacks that people are going to feel, the challenges you're going to have. And at that time, there were very few to none Latinos that were registered to vote. So Willie clearly began. It was Willie basically at first. It was just Willie, a folding chair, a folding table, a rotary phone. And he would dial the phone in the mornings to call people and say, are you registered to vote? If you're not, may I make an appointment and come and see you in the evening? And that's basically what he did. And since then, we have registered 2.7 million Latinos. We have trained 150,000 Latino leaders. And we have won 2010 voting rights lawsuits. And there's still a couple of lawsuits that are pending. For instance, we're part of the lawsuit to stop the administration from using data that they're trying to collect in three states and other departments that will be used against us in redistricting. We believe that that will have an impact, and Texas will lose the congressional seat, California will lose the congressional seat, just with that that data being extracted from the total count, not to mention the undercount. But back again to Congressman Lewis. He was very generous. Like I said, I wasn't there, but I know he also helped Juan Andrade, Dr. Juan Andrade out of Midwest Vote, which was at the time that he started the organization. He met with Willie Velasquez, and they had a gentleman's agreement that Willie would work in the Southwest and Mario and Juan Andrade would work in the Midwest, and each would work on voter registration. So the first challenge, before we can even get people out to vote, was making sure that we register people, that we understand not only the deadlines, but the barriers, and that we work to empower communities. And much like the voter fund, it was an empowerment model. And an empowerment model means that we're teaching natural leaders, leaders that are part of those communities. In each case, it's Latino community, but it's in different cities, whether it's Houston, Dallas, Los Angeles, New Mexico, Las Cruces, Phoenix, Arizona, Miami, whatever city we're in. You work with the local community and you find out what their issues are, and then they create a committee and they begin to work on those issues. And part of the strategy includes registering voters and turning them out to vote, and training candidates and organizers, organizing those communities. Basically, the idea was and is we're doing this now, but at some point, people should be doing it on their own because they understand the value and the importance of being empowered, of voting, of taking part in America's democracy, and using the vote as a way of protecting yourself and using it as a defense against any personal attack or attack on our communities or policies that go against our own interest.
So when we look at the Congressman Lewis's involvement, why did Willie Velasquez and Dr. Andrade reach out to Congressman Lewis specifically? Well, let's just ask that first.
Well, because he was the one that was in charge of the voter registration education project And if you notice, we basically kept the same name. We just added one added in front of it, Midwest Motor VEP. We added Southwest Motor VEP, so, yeah. Or Southwest VEP. So we, I don't even know how to express this because I'm lost for words right now. We had someone who taught us and showed us, and then we blossomed. But we wouldn't have blossomed without the knowledge and the history and understanding all that Congressman Lewis had gone through. You know, he almost lost his life, just like many other leaders of his time that were lynched and beaten because all they wanted to do was making sure that we could sit in front of the bus or we could eat in the same counter that everybody else was or vote. We know that some of the consequences of these current racial divide is taking place again. We know that before the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965, which Congressman Lewis was a big part of, along with Dr. Martin Luther King and others. But before Johnson, President Johnson signed that bill, that very enlightening, powerful piece of legislation that is has been and was a tool for us to defend ourselves. People did not have a way of protecting themselves. People were still, Congressman Lewis really worked to make sure that he found a way so that the Black community could vote, and then ultimately by teaching us, the Latinos could vote. But let's not forget that the cost was very, very big. The Voting Rights Act passed in 1965. In 1975, we included the Voting Rights Act to include language communities of different languages so that they could also have the right to vote. But what I was trying to say, without making sure that I first praise again Congressman Lewis for all his work, making sure that I don't forget to do that, is that at that time, people had to pass the literacy test, pay a tax to vote. They had to recite the Constitution, talk about complex laws before they could vote. Educated African Americans and Black leaders, if they showed up to vote, college students were not allowed to vote because they knew they would be able to pass those tests. Black voters would show up to vote and they would be told they didn't fill the application correctly, or they showed up at the wrong polling site, or they showed up on the wrong day. They were told all these lies that, frankly, I think are going to happen all over again. I'm very, very concerned that in this election, a lot of what the congressmen and communities and the Black community that faced at that time that he was involved in helping to pass the Voting Rights Act, I think that is going to happen again in this cycle. What we're seeing in Portland is an exercise of the military, or rather people that look like military people, like they're part of the military, are attacking protesters. But is that a practice test, a practice run to stop us from voting on election day? Places like Texas will not allow for vote by mail when, in fact, we know that as of the day that this is taped, 150,000 people have died because of COVID. Not to mention millions ill around the world in the United States. And so I think that if we really were a nation that promised to be inclusive, we have to start letting go of these barriers. And we will not be able to see that, at least not in this cycle. There is no excuse that America, who claims to be the country in the world of democracy, has the worst history of democracy. It discriminates, it blocks, it has shenanigans, it has intimidations. Everything we can think of that happened in the 60s is more than likely going to happen again in 2020. Why? Because just like before 1965, we did not have the Voting Rights Act, and right now we do not have Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act, and therefore Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act is weakened. And I think that that's a problem. So I think this cycle, for those of us that are involved in voting rights and civil rights, and we want to honor Congressman Lewis' memory, we should each register 100 people personally, invite our family and friends to be registered, and we should also make sure that they turn out to vote. Let's not just work about turning out voters like you and I who already vote. Let's expand the electorate. Let's create some change. Think about this. 538 projects that 20 Senate seats, United States Senate seats, could be up for grabs. 20, or at least 13 to 20. Four seats changes the dynamic in the United States. So this cycle, people have to worry about the electoral votes, the U.S. Senate seat, congressional, and then down ballot state house seats, because guess what? 2021 is redistricting. So those are the things that we have to pay attention to. And if we want to honor Congressman Lewis, especially as I was watching him dance the song Happy, we can be very happy after Election Day if we did our homework. And that is registered others to vote, get them out to vote, and insist that people support the passage and the restoration rather of the Voting Rights Act. And we ask everybody to send a note to your members of Congress that it be passed.
Thank you, Lydia, for those strategies. You know, today is March 28th, 2020, and this week we are celebrating the life and legacy of Congressman John Lewis. And what a better way to celebrate his life than continuing his legacy. So thank you very much for offering those strategies of registering not only people you know who already vote, we're expanding the electorate and registering people who don't normally vote. We all have them in our families. We have them in our friend. We have them in our friends. We have them in our network. So we have to do as much work as we can in not only expanding the electorate, but turning out the vote and recognizing the importance of this election. Yes, we have the opportunity to vote who we want in the White House, but also the Senate matters. You know, and thank you for bringing that up, that we have almost 20 seats in play, and we can actually turn the Senate to turn this country around to be for all. And just like those you talked about, all the ways that the systemic challenges that African Americans faced in terms of getting out to registering and voting prior to the passage of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, those same laws and systemic challenges the Latino and Mexican American communities faced, you know, and a lot of times we don't talk about that the it was meant for people of color not to vote. And so we have to realize that those same strategies can be used again. And that's why it's so important that we vote. Is disenfranchisement is real, meaning you had the franchise and now it's taken away. And we have to be aware of that and not take it for granted. I'm glad you, just to give a little historical context, the Southern Regional Council established the Voter Education Project after the Voting Rights Act was passed. And when Lydia was talking about the VEP, the Voter Education Project, its executive director was John Lewis. And so that's what she was talking about, that the other organizations just took Southwest Voter Education Project, the same thing with the Midwest Voter Education Project. They were just taking that name. So I just wanted to give a little context about what she was talking about.
Thank you for clarifying that. I'm still I feel a sense of sadness right now, because even though, as I said, I was inspired to watch Congressman Lewis dancing, and he looked so happy. And it was days before his passing. And today is July the 28th, and we're 98 days away from the election. And we're seeing that there's still so much work to do. So yes, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that the reason that the Mexicans and the Latinos wanted to start an organization like this one, Southwest Voter, modeled after the VEP, or Maldive in 1968, is because just like the Black community was facing personal attacks and lynches and being prohibited from voting in every possible tactic that they could use, Latinos were also finding similar challenges. In the Southwest, there were signs that said, no dogs, mm-hmm. no Mexicans, mm-hmm. no Blacks. And sometimes it was no Mexicans, no Blacks, no dogs, but it basically was the same thing. And it was an understanding that this country was either going to continue to be in that place of overtly showing its attack on communities of color, Black and Latino communities and other communities, or it was going to evolve into a country that was going to be accepting and responsible for acknowledging that all communities have made a contribution in building this nation. I think that when President Obama was elected president, we all felt that the country had arrived at a new place in time, a time when people were going to respect the diversity, were going to honor the different contributions that each community was making, respecting the fact that this nation is built not only from the backs of Black communities that were slaves, and a nation of Mexicanos and Native Americans that their land was stolen, but their contributions, and then move forward, and we have a new administration, and President Trump begins campaigning on the attack of Mexicans, similar to what we heard when Willie Velasquez started Southwest Voter. It hasn't changed, unfortunately. So for us at Southwest Voter, we believe that the way you empower communities is through their vote. And so we are going to continue to work on registering voters, turning them out to vote, educating people to run for office, organize. We're going to sue whatever state is violating our voting rights, and we're going to sue the administration personally and through the organization. We are going to make sure that we continue to find a way of protecting our vote. It is our right, and we're not going to let anybody take it away from us. And we will no longer accept that hundreds and hundreds of votes may be cast, but not counted. Every single vote is precious and must be counted.
Yes, and we need to, and the only way we're going to make sure that happens is if we make sure it happens. We have to embrace our power as citizens of this country. This is our country. We built this country. We're not bystanders. We built this country. And so we have to emphasize that in the communities, in our communities, and make sure that we do not take the franchise for granted. I really appreciate you joining us today, Lydia, and just honoring the life and legacy of John Lewis and what he meant, not only to the Black community specifically, the wider community of our nation, but also to the Mexican American and Latino communities as well. A lot of people don't really know about his history in really helping to create two of the most influential Latino organizations in our country, you know. And so I'm glad you're able to share that with us. I know I've just been just truly distraught. You know, I live in Atlanta now. You know, Congressman Lewis is our congressman here in
Georgia. Yeah, he's a son of Atlanta, right?
Yes. He's revered. I have pictures with him from over the years. And it's just been hard. It's been hard for everyone. You know, he is a treasure. And like you said in the beginning, he is a giant among us. And so I'm so happy that we've had the opportunity to talk about his life and legacy in this context. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to have?
I just want to thank you for allowing us to share the story that, thanks to, as I shared before, and I'd like to let people know, we exist thanks to the legacy of others that we stand before on the shoulders of many other giants. And one of the giants is Congressman Don Lewis, and he will be missed. He is loved. He will be remembered. But one thing is clear, his legacy will continue through the work that he did in his own community and through the work that he did in other communities, including ours, the Latinos, Mexicanos. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.